The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Francesca, thank you very much for reading that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now, we pray. Help us to hear your voice and respond in our hearts. Amen. Well, the first thing I want to say is Happy Easter. Happy Easter to everyone. There are some wonderful Easter flowers around up on the windowsills there and behind me, so do have a look at them afterwards. I've even got some mini Easter eggs left over from Easter Day, which I suddenly remembered I'd brought with me. We can have at the lunch afterwards there. Thank you, Brian, for your prayers. And it's really interesting that you mentioned the strife is o'er, the battle done. That just so fits into what I'm going to be speaking about today. I have the joy of speaking a little bit about the Easter message. I'm finishing off the series on the Lord's Prayer, Deliver Us from Evil. And then I also have to say, thank you, Nelly, for all that you have done. So that's quite a lot to include in one talk. So yes, we say Happy Easter, but not a Happy Easter for the people of Sri Lanka. The numbers who have died keep going up this morning. I think it was 320 and more people who died in 8 separate attacks. And what seemed particularly awful is that they attacked Christians at worship on the holiest day, on Easter Day itself. And yet today we're particularly thinking about that one phrase in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer as a pattern of prayer, and every single Wednesday at the midweek service, we say the Lord's Prayer together. I'm sure a lot of people use the Lord's Prayer at home. And sometimes when you're completely stuck as to what to pray for, use the Lord's Prayer. And it's part of that phrase. So Sophie last week talked about, lead us not into temptation. And then it goes on, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the forces of evil. Deliver us from the evil one, Satan himself. Deliver us from evil thoughts and powers. Deliver us, our Father. So today we're going to think about why did Jesus pray, deliver us from evil? And then how can we fight evil? So why did Jesus pray, deliver us from evil? think, first of all, he knew that evil was real. He recognized the reality of evil, but also recognized the victory that has been won over evil. So Jesus experienced evil. He experienced people in torment, people who were possessed by demons. He experienced people yelling at him and criticizing him. He experienced extreme persecution and death. He experienced people who were so desperate for their loved ones to be delivered from evil. But he also faced opposition and plotting and criticism. He experienced betrayal by Judas. He experienced the anger and the jealousy of the Pharisees and their envy. And even Peter, one of his own disciples, just after Peter said, "You're the Messiah," Jesus talks about the Son of Man must be killed and on the third day be raised to one life. And Peter said, "No, no, Jesus, this won't happen to you." And Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." Satan was twisting Peter's concerns into opposition or evil. So we have different words for the devil. Sometimes we say Satan or the evil one, but he's also called the deceiver. But he is not equal to God. He's not just the opposite of God. Simply the name we give to that potent, that evil force opposed to God and his creation. People tend to fall into two camps, those that see evil absolutely everywhere and become really paranoid about it, but also those who put their head in their sand and really sort of pretend evil doesn't really exist today. But Jesus recognized the reality and the power of evil. But he also knew that light shines in darkness, and light shines in those dark spaces in the world. It's much easier, I find, to recognize evil in the really big things, like in wars and oppression, in what happened in Sri Lanka. But sometimes it's less evil to recognize evil. It's less easy to recognize evil when it's that very quiet voice saying, "Do this, do this. It doesn't really matter if you do that. It doesn't really matter if you just allow that thing to happen." Jesus recognizes the reality and power of evil, and that's why he says, "Pray, deliver us from evil." But he also recognized his victory over it, and that victory was won 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross on Good Friday, but he was raised to life on Sunday, the first Easter day. So Jesus is not just a dead hero or a dead teacher, but Jesus is alive. He's living. Jesus is Lord. Jesus has won the victory. Jesus has met that power and defeated it on the cross. He also confronted evil in the Garden of Gethsemane when he experienced that great temptation. Don't go through with it. That evil that sentenced an innocent man to death on the cross, hanging in pain. But the cross was not the end. We celebrate the victory of Easter Day. Complete defeat over the evil one. Jesus was alive 2,000 years ago, and he's still alive now. So when we pray, "Deliver us from evil," if you like, we're still breathing in that victory won for us on the cross. We're still crying out to God for help, for rescue, for deliverance. But because we know about Calvary, but we also know about Easter, we can pray, "Deliver us from evil." So we recognize the reality of evil, but also the victory won. But the final victory is described in Revelation. So do go ahead and read the book of Revelation, where it talks about the final, final battle. It talks about the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. And there's that little phrase, "The Lamb wins, the Lamb triumphs." So Jesus says, pray, deliver us from evil, because he recognizes evil, but he also recognizes victory. So I thought I'd continue now by thinking more practically, how do we actually fight evil when you come across it? And the passage Francesca read for us today from Ephesians 6 gives us some clues, the armor of God. This preaching series finishes today on the Lord's Prayer, and next week we're going to start a new preaching series on the book of Ephesians. It's the same book we've been looking at on Sunday mornings, and the new preaching card will be ready for next Wednesday. And Paul, in fact, I don't know if you know, you're down to do this passage, Ephesians 6, the armor of God, on July the 10th. So he'll go into it in much more detail. But I just wanted to mention one or two things from this passage today. It begins, if you have a look on your notice sheets, on your service sheets, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And it's saying, be strong, not in your own strength, but in God's strength, in his power. Rely on his strength and might. Verse 11, it says, put on that full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes or the devil's wiles or the devil's cunning plans. Put on the full armor of God. And it mentions in the passage six bits of armor: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The armor of God given us to help fight the evil one. And the devil, it talks about the devil's schemes. The devil can be quite clever and can find a way to attack by any means possible. Apathy, disappointment, envy or jealousy, or those little sins or disobedience. Be warned, the devil will use foul means to try and turn us away. So what happens when we face evil? Well, one of the things I mentioned earlier was read the Lord's Prayer. And I've talked with people before about in your home, in different rooms of the house, read the Lord's Prayer out loud. Our Father in heaven, deliver us from evil. One of the things I also sometimes do is I quote scripture. Jesus did this. You can pick your favorite verses. James 4, 7, I like. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Sometimes I go through the Psalms and find a psalm which I really like that speaks into the situation. Psalm 7, Lord my God, I take refuge in me. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they'll tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Sometimes at night when I'm going to sleep, I will say a very old evening collect. Does anyone know the prayer that begins, lighten our darkness, lighten our darkness? I was taught that when I was just a little girl. And I can remember when I was 8 years old, I would always say it before I went to bed every evening. And one day, I didn't pray that prayer. And that night, we were burgled. And in my eight-year-old mind, we'd never been burgled before, but we were burgled that night. And in my mind, I thought, that's strange. I didn't pray that prayer, and we were burgled. It sounds very simplistic, but I'm sure God used it to teach me that God hears and he answers our prayers. Lighten our darkness. I'm not saying if you always say it, nothing evil is ever going to happen. But it is a good prayer to pray. Lighten our darkness, Lord, we pray. The other thing we sometimes do is to sing. And sometimes I will sing a song about Jesus is Lord. Now, if you look on your orders of service, Nelly got to choose. This is the one perk you get if you're retiring. Your one perk is you're allowed to choose the final song. And she's chosen for our last one. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice, proclaims it. That is a good song to sing. Jesus is Lord, creation's voice proclaims it. Going back to Ephesians, it talks about our struggle not being against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world. But we know from Revelation that in that final battle, the Lamb wins. I don't know how familiar you are with the Narnia stories, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe's the first, but the last book is actually called The Last Battle. And if you read through to the end of The Last Battle, you find that good triumphs over evil. Aslan wins. Jesus wins. So after Paul talks about the armor of God, he finishes in verse 18-19 by saying, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and keep on praying for all the Lord's people." For me, the best weapon we have in our armor, if you like, the best weapon is prayer. So pray, pray, and pray. Deliver us from evil, Lord. It's the main weapon in spiritual warfare. It's the most powerful resource we have. Paul says, on all occasions, at all times, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the name of Jesus. Use that shield of faith, that sword of the Spirit, God's work. Watch out. Keep on praying. Persevere in prayer. And then there's a very personal bit right at the end. It says, pray also for me, Paul says, whenever I speak. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, the gospel, as I should. He finishes by saying, pray for your leaders. So I'm sure Nelly would say, thank you for the many prayers you've prayed for her. Let's pray for Rian as well as she starts on Monday. Thank you for your prayers for me, for your prayers for Paul, for all the church leaders. Pray for us to explain the mystery of the gospel. The devil will particularly target Christian leaders to try to bring them down. So keep praying for your leaders. One of my many memories of Nelly is those quiet conversations that you and I have not seen, but I know she's had with people, explaining the gospel to them, like it says here, fearlessly making known the mystery of the gospel. You might be aware that before some people have died, often Nelly will go and visit them. And in their last few weeks of their life, she'll bring comfort to them. She'll explain the gospel to them. She's talked to them again and again about their assurance, their hope of eternal life. So, Nelly, I just want to say thank you for all that you have done to help proclaim the gospel to people who have needed it, because their days on earth are very limited. So keep on praying for Nelly. Keep on praying for me, for all the leaders. And keep on praying, deliver us from evil. But don't fear, evil will not triumph. The Lamb wins. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.